KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell in New York. When I think of my guest, Todd Snyder, New York, I don't just think of Iowa, although that is where Halston's from.
Yes.
But I actually think about movies. I think about the movie Giant with Rock Hudson and James Dean, and that sort of contrast between the modern and the old world and the traditional and basically putting another spin on tradition. And that's really what you do, isn't it, as a designer?
Yeah, that's perfectly well said. I think I'm going to copy that and part of my brand description. But yeah, it's essentially what I do. But thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. I just think about what Dean wore and as Jet Rink and the way those clothes are really – he wore those things until they fit him. I mean, you could, a classic pair of Levi's until they were molded to him. And so I think about the collapse like New Balance or these classic American brands you work with, Pia Flyer, for God's sake, or Champion. And I think, you know, it wouldn't be a Vetements without you because you really took these things and saw what people didn't see in them. And the idea is sort of – taking Champion, which is a classic, perhaps the oldest athletic brand in the world, and just sort of saying, well, if it just were fitted in a different way and the fabrics were a little bit different, then it would really become a part of the way people think about athletic wear or leisure wear.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of my approach. And, you know, thank you for saying that about Vetements. I have always been in menswear. I've always been a designer and worked at some great places like Ralph Lauren and J. Crew and Gap. And grew up in the Midwest and just fell in love with clothes. And I think one of the things that I always found cool was when I would vintage shop. And I would vintage shop in Japan and Europe. And I would always find all these Americana pieces. And I wanted to kind of dust them off and represent them in a new way. And for me, authenticity was the most important thing. You know, you mentioned Red Wing, you mentioned Champion, and you're right. Champion was established in 1919, before Nike, before Adidas, before any of those brands. And they've lasted, you know, over 100 years. And that's pretty remarkable when you think about clothing and you think about how things come in and they come out and some go to the side. For me, it was like, how do I tell that story? How do I do something that's super authentic and at the end of the day, cool? And I've always looked at Hollywood as kind of my inspiration. You know, James Dean, I think, was probably one of the coolest dudes out there. And, you know, Paul Newman is another one that I always follow, and Steve McQueen and all those guys that you kind of – they just embodied masculinity, but also just the coolness. And they would take an average thing like a pair of jeans and just make them like, I need to get that.
Yeah, that sense of something that's perennial that you don't think about until you see it given a kind of glamour that somebody who is really comfortable in it. And the idea of – and this is what I really think about with your stuff, and that's why I mentioned Giant. The idea of glamour and comfort is – which I think is unusual for fashion.
For sure. I mean, I think – men dressing, and I think that's always been a challenge. Like most men look at fashion like a four-letter word. They always think like, oh, that's not me. But I think more and more when you can attach it to something that has that ruggedness but then has that kind of elegant style and also ease to it, guys fall in love with it, you know, and it seems approachable and they adopt it and then it becomes their uniform to some degree. And I think – always the blend. I think there's always tension between kind of what is considered rugged and what is considered kind of fashion. And I think that is really the true balance. And that's why I think you kind of see those convergence of those two things.
I think one of the reasons that's being a comfort though, because the stuff you do basically demands to be worn. It's not the kind of thing you buy and you're afraid to put on, you know, and just sort of breaking down that, I think that reticence that a lot of men have about buying stuff because they'll buy it and they just won't wear it. I'm sure you found that a lot before the Ludlow suit, which really just, again, it took a sort of a classic look at the suit and sort of said, let's make this more approachable and let's make this more wearable.
Yeah, a lot of my approaches have always been like, how do I take something that my grandfather wore and make it relevant again? And a lot of that is, like, you know, for example, when I did Ludlow Suit at J. Crew, it really harkened back to this old world. But then, you know, we put it in with modern fabric. So we were using a stretch wool and we slimmed it up a little bit and we made the pan a little bit narrower. And it was very approachable to a lot of guys. And all of a sudden we reintroduced it and guys were kind of like, oh, I need to have one of those. And it kind of became the go-to suit for a lot of working people, but also a lot of people that were coming up into the working world and saying, you know what, I could wear that. And it's not my necessarily my dad's suit or my grandfather's suit. It's like a modern take on it. And I think it's always important to always turn up the volume a bit on style, whether it's, you know, narrowing a lapel or widening a lapel or using a different fabric. But, you know, for the most part, I just try to take classic things and make them new.
It's true. We're talking about timelessness with my guest, Todd Snyder, whose line I think is terrific. We just talked before we got going, by the way. You were talking about the Ludlow suit, for example, and from somebody who's just getting started to our friend Jim Moore, who swears by that suit. And Jim Moore being the creative director of GQ, for somebody like that to make that kind of vote in your work must have been really thrilling for you.
Yeah, Jim is a huge friend of mine. I still am very in awe of him.
But he's another Midwestern boy, just like
he is. I didn't know that. But you know, he's got me beat probably by another 20 years as far as experience. And he just has incredible reference, incredible style. You know, he's shot with pretty much every, you know, photographer and knows the business so well and knows references that I don't even know about. And he's really opened the world to me. But a lot of it is, you know, since J. Crew, you know, opened two stores now in New York City and really have noticed that the customer, there's not a lot of options for guys. I know it sounds kind of crazy, especially with the digital age and with all the competition out there. It's surprising. People aren't making guy clothes anymore. It's either crazy extreme, street style, or it's super boring. There's no straight down the middle, like easy stuff for guys to wear.
That's funny because it's true. But I think what men want in clothes is to feel comfortable but have something that gives them some sense of confidence.
Yeah.
And I was telling you before we got started, there's a real sense of confidence and ease in the stuff that you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I came from the Midwest and I always liked clothes and I always knew.
What was it like being a kid in the Midwest who liked clothes?
It wasn't easy. You know, it was definitely something that, you know, I would kind of loosely tell people I was studying. You know, I started off in architecture, moved to business, and then was like, you know, what am I going to do for a living? And I thought, gosh, you know, I'd really like to get in this apparel business, but I didn't know what it was. I was like, do you open up a store? What is it? And I read Ralph's book. This was in the 80s. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to be Ralph Lauren someday. I would love to design clothes. And then I ended up switching majors. There was actually a major at Iowa State University that was called fashion design, textiles and clothing, and there was a fashion design part. So for me, being in architecture, I was like, this is perfect for me because I like building things. I'm very good with my hands. I'm also, you know, very good at kind of the process and, you know, I'm somewhat pragmatic when it comes to design, but I try to challenge myself as much as I can. And I always wanted to make clothes for the average guy, but always push the limits. And when I started working in the industry, my dad had told me, he was an engineer, and he had told me, you know, if you want to be the best, you got to work for the best. And for me, it was Ralph. And I straight away got a job there. And Mickey Drexler was my other person that I knew. He was an amazing business person working at Gap and making Gap as popular as it was in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, and followed him to J. Crew. But I knew that I needed to work for the best in the industry. So I got to do that. I learned a ton. I learned not only how to design, but I learned how to run a business. And, you know, for me, I just wanted to be able to offer something that was approachable for guys and to make guys feel confident and feel like they look their best. And because so often, you know, I think one of the biggest dilemmas for men is there's always something that you're going to, whether it's a wedding or a first job interview or a date or what have you, that it's not the thing that comes to them easily. And there's always a guy that gets it, but the majority of men don't. So what I try to do is I try to decode it for them And I really try to make it easy for guys to look their best and not freak them out, but also not make them feel like they're dressing, you know, too old and stodgy.
It's funny because I was thinking as we were talking about this, you know, you and Jim Moore and Halston, there are a lot of guys who've come to fashion, who've come from the Midwest, and a lot of that gets formed, I do think, since we were talking about movies to get this started, by seeing that kind of thing on the screen, that sort of the most glamorous guys in movies, be it Cary Grant or mm-hmm. or Sidney Poitier or Steve McQueen, are all guys who looked like those are clothes that you could wear. There's nothing that wasn't approachable. There's nothing that wasn't relatable about those things. But and there's a sense of ease and confidence in this. Mm-hmm. And I just wondered as a kid, that was part of something that really in some part of your head made you think, well, I want to make clothes the same kind of language that these guys have done.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of interesting things that I kind of glean off of movies. Movies has always been where I get a lot of my inspiration. Travel's the other place I get inspiration. I think for me, kind of seeing how, you know, a James Dean or any of those guys would wear clothes, it was really more about their style that really intrigued me. Because you're right, you know, Cary Grant, you know, he was always dressed to the nines. He always had a great pair of trousers on. He always, you know, wore a scarf in such a way.
But he was also always moving in those clothes. He wasn't just standing in one place.
Yeah. And there was an ease and an elegance to it that for me, just I was mesmerized by. I've always been that. I love going to movies still and I love going to the theater because it kind of transports me into a new genre that I can kind of think, you know, if I were around during that time, how would I dress? Because, you know, I think style is, you know, is very much an individual thing. It's not everybody has their own personality in how they dress. And some people play up certain things, whether they're always wearing a tie or they're able to wear a sport coat with ease or how they wear their jeans or styling sneakers with a suit. Everybody has their own interpretation of it. And, you know, that's the great thing about movies is it's all kind of there for you. But I think even outside the movies, you would see such great style from all those guys that I think that's what really made them who they are and who they were. And this is all before stylists, you know. And today you've got everybody has a stylist. You know, you've seen all these things on TV, these reality shows, and they come with a whole crew now to, you know, hair, makeup, stylist, every publicist, you name it. But it's neat to kind of pull reference from that. But that's really, for my brand, I've always been very thinking about that guy who's maybe in the Midwest and would he like it. So I've always designed for the guy who lives in New York or the guy who lives in London or, you know, some faraway place. But I'm always brought back to now, would the average guy get this? So that's kind of how I design. I'm always have this kind of spectrum of who the guy is.
Because, again, for people, and I'm from Detroit, which as far as I'm concerned, that's the Midwest too. Yeah. There's this aspirational quality, I think, in your stuff, but also that slight rule-breaking thing. Like, you know, James Dean wearing the white T-shirt, which is a big deal, or Brando wearing the T-shirt, that distressed T-shirt, that sort of thing where they're taking some of this kind of classic and bringing another perspective to it, which is, again, something I think of with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think there's always been, especially in movies and especially back in the day, it kind of gave the guy permission to wear it. It gave – because there wasn't – you know, a lot of the rules back then as far as dressing, there was, you know, certainly a lot of dress codes. Denim wasn't worn a lot and T-shirts weren't worn a lot. It was very much considered a down-dressing thing. And for someone at that stature and in a movie, all of a sudden it just – gives people permission and it suddenly changes people's perception on, okay, that's actually cool. And I think there's, especially when I design, I always think about
I'm going to ask you just to hold that thought because we're going to take a break. There's much more to talk about. I guess Todd Snyder of Todd Snyder New York, a terrific designer, is the treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes. Join Jacqueline Coley as she hosts a brand new podcast, Scene on the Screen. Meet the innovative people at NBC Universal as they share their journeys, inspirations, and the movies that define them. Each episode is an intimate and fun conversation about the impact of film. Scene on the Screen is available now, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. My guest is Todd Snyder. He's still here. Thank goodness for that. Let's talk about some of your stuff, because just seeing some of your stuff, though, this sort of practical and dream aspect at the same time. Like you, again, it's almost you see a classic piece of material, be it a Timex, which you did with the mod, for example, which is just, oh, well, that's what a Timex should be. But it also should be something that you can just go and pick up. Or when you're new line, this beautiful pink double-breasted peak lapel overcoat. I mean, it's a really almost a staple piece, but to see it in that color and to actually touch it, it's just something that demands to be worn, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, fashion, it should be fun. You know, it should be something that, A, makes you feel like, okay, this is a part of me, this is part of my skin, but also, you know, it's a good expression of yourself. And I've always kind of looked at design and approached design from a very kind of pragmatic experience, but I've also tried to make it.
You keep saying pragmatic, but I feel like even though you're saying that, the pragmatic is a foundational part, there's something about it that's beyond that. I mean, because
exactly. There's this irreverence that I like to play in. And then that's where, you know, I start with a foundation, but then I start to play around with, and that's where, you know, working with somebody like Jim Moore, who not only helps me, you know, style the collection for the runway, but we sit through design meetings and we go through things, and that's even helped me express myself more, because it's given me the confidence to play a little outside of my normal, you know, kind of safety zones. And that pink overcoat's a good example. And it's this beautiful, almost like a camel-y blush pink. So it isn't too, you know, crazy town. But like, pink has actually been a really popular color as of late, in the last probably 2-3 years. And it all kind of came through the sneaker culture. So you've been seeing a lot of athletes wearing it now, you know, during games and wearing it, you know, kind of in more of a street style way. So we thought, why don't we do that in a jacket? And taking something that's super elegant, super traditional, and just being a little bit louder and a little bit different. And I like taking things and turning them on their heads, you know, like an overcoat, which is probably the most traditional thing that most men wear or used to wear. And how do we make it cool today? And pink just seemed like the obvious choice, because it just had enough of tradition, but then turn up the volume and make it a little quirky. That's generally how I design, is taking things that are relatively classic and making them new.
Yeah, which again goes back to Champion, that idea of just sort of taking the blockiness out of it, which but also using the fabrics that immediately feel wearable rather than something you have to break in, which is something that those clothes demanded at one point. I mean, you want to have a Champion shirt that you have for a couple of years because it felt different. And you understood that kind of breakdown of the fabric in immediate terms made it much more desirable.
Yeah. And that's again, there's kind of a like 2 or 3 pillars that I play with. And, you know, one is tradition, and another one is kind of this irreverent kind of bad boy expression and being somewhat rebellious against convention. So, and it's this constant push pull there. And, you know, taking tradition like Champion, that was, you know, mostly uniforms and kind of gym supply and that kind of stuff.
Basically, everybody at some point, if you're playing on a team in high school, you wore Champion.
Yeah. And they used to outfit the NFL, NBA, all the uniforms were by them until Nike kind of just swooped in and took them over. So I decided to say, you know what, the sweatshirt used to be kind of the uniform back in the day for, you know, PE class or what have you. How do we bring that into more of a sportswear? How do you wear it with a suit? You know, that seemed radical at the time, and now it's kind of become ubiquitous. And I think that's kind of the balance, is taking something that, you know, you think of as in a traditional way and a little bit more low level and mixing it with a high level thing. So there's always a high low, whether you're taking something that's traditional and mixing it a little bit with a little racier, a little bit faster.
We're talking about training a new eye on the old world with Todd Snyder. It's The Treatment. I've got to ask you, so sitting here, what's some of your dream collabs? I mean, who would you love to be in business with?
Oh, gosh. My favorite, which if it happened, I don't think it ever will, but Apple, I would love to work with them. I think
– Really?
Yeah. Well, from a design standpoint, I think they're the best in class. I think Apple has always – I love great design, whether it's interiors, architecture.
Because the way you talk about things sort of makes – being from Detroit and having seen a lot of this at Cranbrook, Mies van der Rohe. Who is he? Okay.
My favorites, yeah.
Oh,
Chicago.
Okay.
Well, I grew up in Iowa, which is about 4 hours from Chicago, and I remember my first trip to there, and I grew up in a small, small town of 2,000 people. So going to Chicago was like, holy cow, and Mies van der Rohe was huge there, I mean, not only the buildings, but just his kind of footprint he left there. And for me, that was my first kind of introduction to a big skyscraper. I didn't know what it was. And his designs just kind of blew me away. There was just something about it that was modern, but still just had this industrial, you know, it was just beautiful. I can't explain
it. Kind of rule-breaking and practical.
Yep. And he did it, you know, it's hard to do in a big building. You know, it's easy to do in a shoe or whatever, but then to put something out there that's like going to be there forever.
Is it really easy to do in a shoe? Because you can do it in a shoe and people still don't buy it. I mean, the idea of making it, again, getting back to what I think is so – a little bit.
Yeah.
But what I guess getting back to what I think your talent is, your gift is taking that thing that people overlook and getting them to retrain their eye, which
exactly. –
There are lots of people making shoes, as we know, probably more people making sneakers now than ever before. You have John Lobb making sneakers. Maybe we've gone a step too far. but you know, that idea of taking these things that people are used to seeing and making them look at them again.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the nuances that you have to play with, and that's what I try to do. I mean, I follow a lot of, you know, everything from art to movies to architecture to food. And just looking at what's trending and how people are thinking of things. You know, for example, in food, you know, you're seeing people, they want to know everything about where their food comes from. They want to make sure it's sustainable. They want to make sure that it's organic, that it has all these qualities. You just take it for granted, but now the details are mattering. So then I take that and then I put that into my clothes. So all my suits are made in the U.S.
Who makes the suits?
Make with Southwick, which out of Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
And they're a great company. They've been around forever. And it's important to tell that story that the fabric is, you know, it comes from Italy. It has great quality. And then we still make in the U.S. because they, and as far as I'm concerned, are the best at making American sportswear and American kind of soft jackets. But, you know, I love working with a lot of different design mediums. Like, for example, I just did this really cool collab with FJ Company, which makes Toyota Land Cruisers. And they're old. So I picked this old 1976 Toyota Land Cruiser. It's called FJ43. And it's extended back. And did a custom color in slate, which is one of my favorite colors. It's a Porsche color, actually, but it's like a slate blue. And then I did Red Wing leather interior. So I kind of just came up with something, and that's one of my favorite things I've ever done. And it's a different way of expressing myself. But the beauty is that, you know, I get to work with a great company, that the FJ Company, which is based in Miami. Two brothers grew up in Colombia. Their grandfather passed away like 10 years ago, decided to restore the cars. That thing has now ballooned up into, they do 50 a year now, because all their friends were seeing them in Miami driving this cool vintage Toyota Land Cruiser, and you don't see them everywhere. So then they started making this into business. So I was like, this is a really cool opportunity for me, A, to do something that I admire and work in, but also meet the creators and understand their process. And I've done this in a lot of different brands, but you get to meet these creative directors or creative heads that – show me a new way of thinking about how to create something different, and seeing their process and seeing what inspires them and what they look at. It changes my perception or changes my point of view, so that at least I can kind of then challenge myself in a different way further down the road. So got to make this great truck. And so far we've sold two of these things. We've sold $185,000, and we sold two, with one in the slate gray, which we made, and then another one in this military olive. Again, it's a custom color. So we have a Todd Snyder edition FJ Land Cruiser. And it's this company, and they're amazing. It's FJ.co. Two brothers, great people, and they love what they do, and they put their heart and souls into these trucks. And they're magnificent. They build them from the ground up. They rebuild the entire thing so that it's got a new engine. It has air conditioning. You can put a stereo in, or you can be very legit and stick it, you know, stay with the original build and keep it without power steering and all that. So it's neat.
My guest, who apparently wants people to work when they drive, is Todd Snyder. It's the treatment. You talk about Apple, though, as being an ideal collab partner. Who else would you like to be in business with? I'm curious, since I've got you here.
I would love to do interiors. I think Herman Miller, you know, just because they have, you know, a lot of different brands. You know, Herman Miller also does Eames chairs, which I'm a huge fan of. They also do these Arion chairs, which are really cool. But I love interiors. So recently I did a really cool collab with First Dibs, which is an amazing interior resource. So they represent a lot of collectors and a lot of dealers. And they helped me do my store that we just opened, the liquor store down in Tribeca. So I worked with them on kind of curating what the interiors would look like. And in fact, we're actually selling all the stuff. So basically, if you go to the store, everything's for sale. Not only the paintings that are in there, but the carpet, which is from ABC, which is another company I work with, ABC Furniture. So I kind of just get to work with people and brands that I love. But, you know, I'm kind of going through it and trying to figure out who the next would be and if it makes sense. But I try to do things that not necessarily, you know, I don't want everybody to be like, oh, this is Todd Snyder style, but I want to give people a window of what things that I'm inspired by. And it's amazing how many people come into our stores that are just like, I want it all. I want not just the clothes, but I want the table. And we sold a rug about 6 months ago. The woman came in with her husband, and I told them, you know, this is from ABC Furniture. I can set up an appointment with you, and you can go through. They have tons of them. Like you can pick your own. She goes, no, I want this one. This one's perfect. And so we got it cleaned for her and rolled it up, and she took it, and it was great. It means a lot when someone comes in, especially, you know, you think about it, if they come into your home and they're like, oh my God, I love what you've done with the place. It's a great compliment. But to be able to actually sell a piece of your home is kind of unusual, especially if it's just a rug or a chair.
Did that catch you off guard when
she did.
Demanded that piece? That
yeah.
She had to have that one?
Yeah. And I was perfectly willing to sell it. But I said, you know, it's been on the floor for, you know, a year or two, like we can get you, you know, a newer one. I mean, they're vintage anyway, but no, she said, I like the patina. I like everything about it. We'll just take this one. And she did. She loved it. And we've done that a few times where people will come in and just buy a chair or a small trinket or something that we've assorted into the store. But I want it to be an experience. I want people to feel like I want to live like this. I love the aesthetic, not only just the clothes, but just the environment. And I just want to make it easy for people.
Perfect place to end. I'm sorry we're out of time. You got to come back and do the show again, please.
I'd love to.
My guest, who will sell you and make everything for your life at some point, is Todd Snyder, recording engineer here at NPR in New York, is Neil Rogers. Good to be back with Neil. This show is mixed by Kat Yore. I'm going to go buy myself a new car. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on the Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.